You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
Far circle. Right point now for Spence. Back for Tynan at the circle. He creeps in front, stuffed in front, save, rebound, score! Samuel Fagimo is second of the game.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Rain Check podcast. Jared Schaffern and Josh Schaefer with you as always. Wanted to bring you an update after a busy week in the hockey world after the trade deadline in the NHL. The AHL trade deadline has not passed as of this recording, but it will in 3 days from this recording. AHL trade deadline allows players on AHL contracts to be traded. A lot of those type of guys are franchise cornerstones for the Rain. So we don't know if we expect any trades with AHL contracted players. It could always happen. But a guy like Cameron Gauntz, who is eligible to be traded, we really hope he doesn't because we love Cameron Gauntz. But he is the type of player that can be traded. Another guy like TJ Tynan, who's on an NHL contract with the Los Angeles Kings, he is not eligible to be traded this season after the NHL trade deadline has passed. Josh, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm excited to dive into some of the things that we want to get to because these are questions that we get all the time. So now that things have kind of settled down for the most part, at least in regards to the NHL trade deadline and a couple of moves that have been made, that allows us to clear some things up.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have any guests on this episode, but if you want to hear from some of our players and some previous guests, we do encourage you to go check out the archives of the Rain Check. We've got TJ Tynan, as we mentioned, captain of the Rain recently. We talked to Jacob Movarari and Elias Andersson, both Swedes who are having a great season in Ontario. So plenty of that and plenty more of that to come. But here today, I think we need to start off by, you know, first off, talking about the addition that the Rain picked up to their roster. Again, this was a trade that the LA Kings made, but it's an addition to Ontario's roster in Nate Schnarr, who had himself a pretty nice debut with Ontario in his first game. Kind of a wild story, and we're going to play the audio in a second just from his perspective, but just a crazy 24 hours for Nate Schnarr to not only find out he's traded and then to hop on a flight and then to play and play pretty well against Bakersfield for Ontario.
Yeah, and he played some big minutes too. So he took some very important faceoffs for the Rain, both at the end of the game where he kind of slotted up with some of Ontario's top scorers so that he could win an important faceoff and try to help the Rain set something up. And then also he immediately slotted in on the penalty kill. And of course, Ontario's penalty kill has been beyond good as of late. They've been really good. And you know what's really nice about Nate Schnarr is Ontario's penalty kill was good. And then Nate Thompson came back from missing a few games. And then Ontario's penalty kill was insanely good for a couple of games until Nate Thompson was back out of the lineup and has missed the last couple of games since. Well, now you add Nate Schnarr back in, and that's another really good two-way centerman who can win you some face-offs in your own end, especially while you're shorthanded. And he came in his first game, not really knowing all of the guys that he's playing with all that well, but he had an opportunity to play some big minutes and take some very important face-offs, and he played a pretty big role in Ontario's game the other night.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, it's funny because if you missed the game and you look at the stats, okay, well, no points. His plus-minus is zero. No shots on net. No penalty minutes. So you're like, oh, well, Nate Schnarr kind of had a forgetful debut. But to us, that wasn't the case, right? Like you just said, there's so many intangibles that he brought, and that's exactly what you need in a depth center. Now, he's a guy who is used to this league. He's not coming into the American League for the first time. He's played 167 games in this league. He is used to changing teams. He's played for Binghamton, Tucson, Laval, Utica. So, you know, he's used to getting acclimated with a new group. He's used to this league. I don't think that the Rain are going to ask him to do anything that's outside of his comfort zone. And so for all those reasons, I think it's a really nice add. And you mentioned, look, Nate Thompson is out. He is going to be out for the next couple weeks at least. So he might come back pretty late in the season, but he's you know, unfortunately unavailable. So when you know that you don't have him as a depth center, Alex Turcotte is still out. Akeel Thomas is another center who is out, and we're not expecting him back anytime soon. There was an opening here, just like with the Kings adding Zach McEwen, there's an opening to add some depth in a bottom six role. And I think for Nate Schnarr, he's a guy that can make some of these wingers that he's going to play with a little bit better because he has good work ethic, because he's a hard worker, and because he just seems to do a lot of those intangibles like winning battles with the puck and winning faceoffs.
Yeah, and you know what? You mentioned the fact that he's been traded a couple of times and he's played in now 160-plus games in the AHL. And he just turned 24. You know, he's still a relatively young guy. I don't think he steps in and becomes one of the Kings' most notable prospects, obviously, but he steps in, and I think he immediately plays a vital role on this team, where it's kind of been a theme that we've seen from guys like Alex Turcotte, who has said this in the past, and Akeel Thomas has said things like this in the past, where they got started so young playing in the AHL, and some of that is benefit to a COVID season where even Quentin Byfield in a normal world would not have played an AHL season when he did, but he did at 18 or 19 years old because of the global pandemic and the OHL being shut down. But because of that, you have players in the organization that most people probably wouldn't consider veterans, but a guy like Alex Turcotte might consider himself more of a veteran than a young player because he's young, but he's been around for, what, 3 years now? And you have the same thing with guys like Tyler Madden, Akeel Thomas, you know, Aiden Dudas has been around for a few years too. And Nate Schnarr kind of steps in and is that same kind of guy where he just turned 24 at the end of last month. And he's already played in nearly 200 games. So he can step in and kind of have that, you know, he's young, he's going to rejuvenate the lineup a little bit too, but he also brings a little bit of a veteran presence at the same time. You know, and he can kind of play both ways too. You know, he's a two-way centerman. And last year he was coming off a pretty good season with both Utica and Laval. He's been kind of dealt at this time of the year before, so he knows what it's about. And you know what? He played a pretty big role on the run through the Calder Cup playoffs last year with the Rocket after coming over from Utica. So I think he knows what his role is going to be. Obviously he's still getting settled in, but at least the other night he settled in nicely.
Clearly, the Kings and Rain have scouted that Laval team. They brought in Toby Bisson from the same group that had a long run. And, you know, that's clearly was a team that had success. So there's definitely somebody watching those games out in the Eastern Conference. And we did get a chance to speak with Nate Schnarr after the game in Bakersfield. And he told us the story of the 24 hours before he made it to Bakersfield for that game, as well as, you know, kind of what you can expect from him moving forward here as he fits into this team.
I think I got the call around 12:45 that I've been traded, and then waited for a call and got the call that I was flying out at 6 o'clock. I think it was around 1:30, so quickly threw some stuff in a bag and headed to the airport. And then I was told I was going to be in the lineup tonight, so I thought it was a perfect experience. Just got to show what I can do and play my game. Would have been nice to get the 2 points for the guys, but I thought there was a lot to build off tonight.
I guess so. Just for us, what was Laval's schedule? What were you preparing for yesterday?
I was preparing for a game. We actually had a game last night, so I was just about to eat my pregame, and I got the phone call. So that's the way it is. I'm super excited to be here. I couldn't be happier. The guys welcomed me so well. So super happy to be part of the organization.
What was today like when you got here and you met with the coaches and the players?
It was a whirlwind. It was felt like another day at school. There was a lot to learn, a lot to take in. But again, everyone was so welcoming. They just said, play your game. If you forget what the systems are, just go back to your instincts. You've been a hockey player for so long. So everyone made it feel just like another hockey game, and made me feel really good. So it was awesome.
Well, the Rain got Nate Schnarr, but they had to give something up, and unfortunately for Ontario, that something was Frederick Allard. It did help the Montreal Canadiens immediately, as Frederick Allard stepped into the lineup for the Canadiens at the NHL level, played his second NHL game a few days after the trade against the Vegas Golden Knights. Had a couple shots on Jonathan Quick. Didn't think that we would be saying that a few weeks ago, but you know, I think we just wanted to take a moment and, you know, for both Allard and the other Rain player that was lost during the deadline, Austin Wagner, two guys that, you know, had a pretty big impact in different stints. You know, Wagner over a longer period of time, Allard just for 1 year, calendar year, was he a member of Ontario. But both of them, you know, our losses, both, you know, on the ice and just their personality, they both had pretty strong personalities, and they're both really, really well-liked and guys that, you know, people could go to and, you know, get advice. I think there was a lot of players that counted on those two guys as cornerstones in the room who had been around. They were veterans in the league. They knew what it took on a daily basis. So, you know, I did think it was necessary to kind of, you know, thank them for what they've done for this team, because, you know, they, in different ways, did really good things for the Reign.
Yeah, and you know what? I think it's actually interesting because Frederick Allard, he's a different position. He's a defenseman. Nate Schnarr is a forward. But Frederick Allard came over in kind of the same situation last year, where the Kings had called up a couple of guys. The Reign needed a little bit more depth. But not only do they get depth, they got somebody who was a top four D-man for him last year, come deadline time and come playoff time. And that was Frederick Allard. And at the same time, at the time, Freddie was somebody who was young. He was only 24 when he came over. But he also, as a young guy, kind of had that AHL veteran mentality when he came in. So he was really important for the Reign last year, especially with no Jordan Spence come playoff time. And of course, Sean Durzi had been called up since really two or three months into the season after having a good start with the Reign. And Freddie Allard came in, and I just remember when we were in Colorado, and obviously things did not go very well in Colorado for the Reign last year. And you and I were kind of sitting there going, Freddie Allard's actually been pretty good when the team has been struggling here. And he was a huge piece for that team last year. And so, you know, he was a reliable guy on the ice, could contribute to the offense when he needed to, but also a really strong kind of two-way defensive player, or two-way defenseman. And then of course he was just a fun guy to be around. He was funny, and the guys definitely kind of fed off of that, and he was always cracking jokes, especially when we're down outside the locker room after the game doing interviews. And if we're not interviewing Freddie, he's got a chirp for whoever we're interviewing every time he comes to walk by. And then Austin Wagner too. Kings fans are obviously familiar with Wags because of the role that he played with the Kings for a few years. And then also in the AHL, I mean, he's just a different kind of player where he can play a couple of different roles. He's good on the penalty kill. He can skate on the top line with Elias Anderson and TJ Tynan. And obviously he is faster than fast. So he was a fun player to watch. He's been missing some time for a little bit. But I mean, you know, before the deadline, there was a day out at TSPC and Wags and I just kind of watched practice together. And I just learned a lot from him about the way that he kind of sees the game. And I thought that that was super interesting. So, you know, he sees the game differently than some guys might. And obviously he's been out with an injury, but I hope he recovers. And I hope that he does well, with the Blackhawks organization, which is where he was sent, because, he can contribute at a couple of different levels and in a couple of different ways too.
Yeah, and we wish the best of luck both to Frederick Allard, who is now with Laval. He did play with Montreal, but was loaned back to the Laval Rocket in his home province of Quebec. And then also Austin Wagner, as you mentioned, Josh, acquired by the Chicago Blackhawks. He is injured, and we'll see if, you know, he gets an opportunity on the NHL roster or if he is with their affiliate in Rockford. But we'll definitely keep tabs on how those guys are doing, because they're both good people, and we wish them the best of luck. Also on trade deadline day, an important day for the American Hockey League, because it deals with playoffs and rosters, and it's a little confusing, so we're going to try to sort it out for everybody. The AHL on deadline day is the final day for players to be available and eligible for the postseason. So a player must be on the AHL roster at 3:00 on trade deadline day Eastern time in order to be eligible to be sent down from the NHL at any time for the rest of the season. So what does that mean? Well, it means that the Kings wanted to make a few guys in the event of, you know, things changing. The Kings elected to make a few players eligible to be sent down to the Reign later in the year. Those two players, Quinton Byfield and Rasmus Kupari. Both of those, you know, paper transactions, they were loaned to Ontario right before that deadline and then called back up by the LA Kings. Both of them have been in the lineup for the LA Kings. They're playing. They're big contributors for the Kings. Quentin Byfield is playing on the team's top line. But they were sent down. And what that means is, yes, they're eligible to come down to the rain at any point moving forward. But for the LA Kings, after the trade deadline, they only have 4 call-ups remaining to the NHL roster for non-emergency reasons. They are allowed to have an emergency recall. An example of that, the Montreal Canadiens emergency recalled Frédéric Allard to play in that game. He was then sent back to Laval after that game was over. For the Kings, 2 of those 4 recalls that they get after the trade deadline are now have been used. So the Kings only have 2 remaining non-emergency recalls remaining throughout the season, as they've used 2 with Quentin Byfield and Rasmus Kupari. It's a little bit confusing, but just know that, hey, the Kings can still call players up if there's injuries. If there's emergency situations due to an injury, due to, you know, a player having to leave the team for some other reason and not being available, the Kings aren't going to have to play shorthanded. They do have salary cap space to call players up. They can call players up, but they can't just merit call players up more than 2 more times. There's only 2 more opportunities for that. We're not going to sit here and guess who might get called up or might not get called up, because if the Kings, hopefully, if they stay healthy and they don't need anybody, maybe the roster doesn't change. But definitely a lot of options on the Rain roster of players who have been up. Guys like Toby Bjornfoot, obviously Cal Peterson, Jordan Spence, Samuel Fagimo, Alex Turcotte. Those guys have all played games with the Kings this year and I'm sure would be considered for recalls if necessary. But that's a long way of saying we had to get this out. We had to explain it a little bit. I hope that makes sense. But yes, Byfield, Kupari, I would say unlikely at this point that we will see them back in an Ontario Reign jersey this year, but still eligible, still an option if the Kings wanted to pursue that route.
Yeah, and remember, at least I'll start this from an AHL standpoint with those 2 guys potentially coming down in the event that maybe the Kings lose and their season ends before the Reign or whatever. But the NHL clubs want their AHL affiliates to do well, especially in the position that the Kings are in. Now, the Kings, obviously, they're in the running for a Pacific Division title this year and are anticipating a strong playoff push and a strong playoff run. But the Kings also have a really competitive AHL team with the Reign, right? And they want those guys to go on a deep playoff run, because if you look back at the team for Ontario that won the Calder Cup in 2015. Sure, that's kind of a different situation because there weren't as many prospects back then, but you want these prospects to go on deep postseason runs, really win or lose. And you look back at that team, Adrian Kempe was young in his first year. And then you have other guys that were prospects at the time that played for the Kings. Nick Dowd, Johnny Brodzinski, Derek Forbert. Like, these are guys that went on long playoff runs when they were younger and have now played at the NHL level with the Kings and elsewhere. So, for example, that's one reason why the Chicago Blackhawks want that option of Austin Wagner. And they also made a trade at the minor league level to acquire Rocco Grimaldi from San Diego, because they have tons of prospects in Rockford. They want to make a playoff push so that those guys get experience by the time they get called up to the NHL. And that's kind of where the Kings are at too. So in the event that things don't go particularly well for the Kings, worst case scenario, you have the option to send those guys down to the Reign where they can play in the Calder Cup playoffs or down the stretch as the Reign make a push for the Calder Cup. But on the other side of things, of course, you can call guys up to the NHL on an emergency basis, as long as that gets, you know, approved as an emergency basis recall. But also you have those recalls toward the end of the season in the event that you do need to call somebody up. And of course the Kings have 4 of those. Now they have 2 of those. But again, like you said, last year it was 17 guys from the Reign, I believe, that at least cameoed for the Kings. Some played more than others. Obviously Sean Durzi stuck and didn't come back. Gabe Vilardi and Jordan Spence got called up at the end of the season for the most part and did not come back for the Calder Cup playoffs. But that is, of course, an option for the Kings, is if they want that depth, if they need to call somebody up as well, they have that option. And you have a plethora of young players with the Reign who have played at the NHL level before that you can rely on. The only reason why we haven't seen as many this year really is because the Kings have been a lot healthier this year than they were last year, which is a good thing. And you know, hopefully that stays both for the Kings and the Reign.
Going back to what you said previously about having a long playoff run for some of your young prospects that are just getting started in pro hockey, that kind of leads us into the next thing I wanted to talk about, which is some young players that could potentially join the Reign during one of those playoff runs. Now, this is where we're going to get into speculation. We were already speculating already about Quentin Byfield, Rasmus Kapari, and their status. But now there are some Kings prospects, players that the Kings have the rights to, who may have signed or may not have signed their entry-level contracts. The Kings can bring some of those guys to the Reign and have them be around this team, potentially play for the team down the stretch. Examples of how this went down last year as Ontario was bolstering its roster, getting ready for a playoff run. Andre Lee, Samuel Hellenius, Kim Nosiainen, Taylor Ward, David Renick all joined the Reign roster down the stretch after finishing their season elsewhere, whether it was juniors, college, international pro, you know, wherever they were at, they finished their season, they were eligible to join the Reign roster. Who we will see this year, we don't know 100%, but we are going to speculate on a few names that you may see join the Reign. The first one, the most impactful one, would be Brant Clark. Brant Clark may join the Kings and not join the Reign. But when Brant Clark finishes his OHL season, the expectation is that he will play for somebody in the Kings system some pro games. He has played 25 games with the Barry Colts since the World Junior Championships and has been absolutely filthy. He has been named the Defenseman of the Month in the OHL for both January and February. And currently at this time of the recording has 45 points in 25 games. Think about that again. As a defenseman, he has 29 assists in 25 games. He is the TJ Tynan of the Ontario Hockey League as a defenseman, basically.
Yeah.
His numbers are out of control, but really the thing to look at here is, okay, well, where are the Barry Colts? Because you know Brant Clark is going to tear up the OHL. We knew that. Barry Colts are currently in third place in their conference in the OHL, and they have clinched a spot in the postseason. So he will go to the postseason with Barry. He will play some postseason games with the Colts. That is something that he has not done previously. Yeah. They didn't qualify for the playoffs. So even if he ends up going on a really long run and goes on too long of a run where they decide not to bring him back to the Kings or the Reign, that's going to be good for Brant Clark to play some playoff games at any level. But he's not coming right away is basically what I wanted to say. You know, there is going to be playoffs in the OHL. Potentially, you know, if Barry does well, they could try to make the Memorial Cup. That would go, you know, a little bit further out. So it's exciting, but it depends on how his team does. So that's something that everybody's going to be tracking.
Yeah, Barry's in third place in the conference, already clinched a playoff spot, 15 points clear of the fourth place team. And also, if they were in the Western Conference, they'd be in first place. Like, that's how good they are this year, and that's how good their conference is in the OHL. So it's very plausible that Barry goes on a deep postseason run, and it is good for Brant Clark and the Kings organization as a whole for him to get that experience as well. So it is entirely possible that Kings and Reign fans get to see him at the end of the season in some way, shape, or form. But if they don't, it likely means that Barry has had some postseason success, which is also good in the long run, maybe not immediately, because I think Kings and Reign fans would like to see him in some capacity, either with the Kings or with the Reign come playoff time. But if that doesn't happen, it might pay off in the long run for Brant Clark to get this new experience of playing postseason hockey in the OHL. So he's somebody that we have seen in the NHL this year, we have seen in the AHL this year, and then of course when he was at the rookie faceoff in San Jose, he was phenomenal as well. So I think people are excited to see him. I would love to see him come back and be with the organization at some point at the end of the season. But obviously, we don't know. There's a lot that depends on.
The other prospect that the Kings have in the OHL that is expected to turn pro in short order is Francesco Pinelli. He is in his third year of juniors, and he also had a year where he played overseas as well. And this year has been his best, as you would expect for the 19-year-old former second-round pick in 2021. Pinelli now at 78 points in 51 games as basically the top forward on the Kitchener Rangers. Pinelli, unlike Brant Clark, has not played any pro games. He has been to El Segundo, to the Kings training facility multiple times for development camp. He was at rookie camp this past year in Kings training camp before he was reassigned to Kitchener in the OHL. So someone who's familiar with a lot of these players, someone who's played on a line with these players in different practices, tournament games for rookie tournament. He's been at the rookie tournament each of the last 2 years. But you look at the Kitchener Rangers, they are in eighth place in the Western Conference. So they may not qualify for the playoffs. They still may. They are not far out. They're in eighth place. They're only 5 points out of fifth. So they're not completely out of things in the Ontario Hockey League, but not a team that's looking as dominant as the Barrie Colts. He is a player in Pinelli who has already signed his entry-level contract and is available to join pro hockey at the end of his season. He is someone that may join the Ontario Reign lineup. That would, in theory, be a boost when you got a guy who's in the Ontario Hockey League scoring 80 points that may join your roster. That could be pretty solid for Ontario as they move down the stretch.
Yeah, and I mean, you already gave those numbers, but to put it in context, he is ninth in the league in scoring. He is lighting it up down there. He has already set career highs in both goals, assists, and points in fewer games than he did the year before, and plus minus. So, like, I know some people don't care about that. I know that Jesse Cohen, who's producing this, sometimes doesn't care about that either.
He does care about it. Jesse Cohen sometimes is a fan of plus minus. I want that on the record.
I feel like Jesse and I have had conversations before where he says it doesn't matter.
No.
Jesse, he's a big plus-minus guy.
We need
That's huge. So, and his plus-minus right now in fewer games is a significant difference than last year, too. So that'll probably make Jesse happy. He's already set career highs in all these things, and he would be a boost. He can contribute in a couple of different ways too. He's super crafty. He's a playmaker. He can kind of manufacture, you know, scoring chances both for himself and for his line mates. So that's somebody that I would be very interested to see. We did get to see him a little bit at the rookie faceoff this past year in San Jose. I understand that that's also kind of, you take that with a grain of salt just because it's three games. You're playing with guys that you've never seen before, you've never really talked to before in some cases. You're also playing with guys that aren't necessarily draft picks, aren't necessarily prospects. A lot of times you're playing with invitees that are invited to fill out the rest of the roster.
In the example of the last 2 years with Pinelli specifically, though, he was playing with Madden, Byfield, Kupari. Kaliev was there recently in his first rookie tournament. This past year, he was with Chromiak. So he was a guy who was in the top six in those tournaments, getting opportunities. Taylor Ward, I think, was another player who was in the top six. Those are the kind of players that Pinelli was playing with in that event.
Yeah, and it's because he meshes with them well. So if in the event that he joins the Reign later in the season, I'm not saying that he's going to be paired with any of those guys, but I think that the Reign and the Kings just as a whole know what they're probably getting in Frankie Pinelli if and when he comes up at the end of the season and is made available to play for the Reign, because you've seen him before, you know what he's capable of, you've seen what he can do at the OHL level, and he's been their captain the last 2 years with the Kitchener Rangers as well. So he's somebody that they can rely on.
Lastly, the final player that I was going to highlight is someone who the Kings also acquired at the NHL trade deadline. He is currently playing for the University of Michigan Wolverines. Go Blue, for those who subscribe. That is goaltender Eric Portillo. And Portillo, just to give everyone a quick history, a third-round pick of the Buffalo Sabres a few years ago in 2019. He has been at the University of Michigan. This is his junior year at Michigan. He still has a senior year, shall he choose to continue to be a student at Michigan and continue to live in Ann Arbor, Michigan. But if he chooses to turn pro, his professional rights were traded by the Sabres to the LA Kings in exchange for a third-round pick. Portillo was a third-round draft pick back in 2019. The Kings gave up a third-round pick to acquire his rights. Seems pretty fair, just kicking a third-rounder over to Buffalo. If you're wondering, well, why is Buffalo trading this goaltender? Why is he on the market? Why isn't he going to be, you know, someone that Buffalo considers for their role in the future? Well, Buffalo has the rights to this other goaltender named Devon Levi, who happens to be the best goaltender in college hockey. Very biased opinion. He plays goaltender for Northeastern University. He was the Mike Richter Award winner last year for best goaltender in college hockey, and he's having another excellent season. He is expected to turn pro at the end of this year and join the Buffalo Sabres organization. Whether he goes to Buffalo or Rochester, we'll throw that wherever. But with a couple young goaltenders in the Sabres organization already, and Devon Levi there, Eric Portillo was a guy who they decided to move on from. The LA Kings benefit from that. Now, the LA Kings have a lot of question marks at goaltender when it comes to the Kings, Rain, and further on down the line with the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. Not many players under contract for this organization next year. You got Cal Peterson's under contract, and now you've got Phoenix Copley under contract to sign a one-year extension. After that, a lot of players are RFAs. So definitely within the organization, if they are extended an offer, you know, they will be kept, but they're not under contract for next year. So if Eric Portillo decides to turn pro, he could be an option for someone that could join the Ontario Reign down the stretch, just like David Renick did last year, although Renick was a senior, so he, you know, could not stay in school at that point. Portillo could very well say, I'm going to stay and have my senior year at Michigan, for which then we'd talk about him again at the same time next year as someone who could be joining a pro roster. That is complicated because the Reign have two excellent goaltenders. You could argue maybe the best goaltender tandem in the AHL with Cal Peterson and Matt Vilalta. So not necessarily a ton of playing time. Maybe Portillo goes to Greenville with the Swamp Rabbits. They are having a good season there, tied for second place. So definitely an intriguing ad for the goaltender pipeline here for the LA Kings and the Ontario Reign.
Yeah, and you know, for me, good trade for the Sabres to get their investment back, because this is the last year of Portillo's rights being owned by the Sabres, and a good ad for the Kings with a third round pick to spare. So it bolsters that goalie pipeline, and you know what? I think Michigan is in a pretty good spot right now in going into the NCAA tournament. So there is a pretty good chance that Portillo is the netminder for a really good team that makes a run potentially to the Frozen Four. So again, who knows if we see him this year? It's the same thing as you know, Brant Clark going on a deep OHL run. So for me, it's an investment that certainly impacts the Reign next season. But we'll see what happens at the end of this season. Kind of that's the tone, right? We'll see what happens, but it's a legitimate possibility.
Yeah, and a name to know going forward. Like I said, you know, if he decides to turn pro, maybe it's not this season, but maybe he joins the roster, practices with the team, has a, you know, familiarity with what's going on, and then comes in for a full year last year. Last thing I do want to add on that, you mentioned that Portillo, played for the Dubuque Fighting Saints. Guess who was the goaltending coach there? Matt Miller.
Yeah, so, and you know what? Not only has Portillo played there in Dubuque, but after 3 years at Michigan too, and before that, you know, he's from Sweden. He's from not too far away from Samuel Fagimo, and he's played with Sammy on five different occasions before. So a couple familiar faces for Eric Portillo if he does, in fact, end up with the Reign sooner rather than later.
Well, we thank everybody for tuning in to this episode. There are, of course, other names that could be added. There are other players that the Kings have the rights to. So by no means are those the only ones that they may be able to bring in to either the Kings or the Reign. College free agent season is underway. Teams are starting to sign some guys who have finished up their college careers as the regular season came to an end. For some teams, their playoff seasons came to an end. So definitely keep your eye out for potential adds of young players joining all of these rosters. But Josh, we look forward to another episode shortly and a lot more games here in this month.
Yeah, and three coming up this week, and two big ones against the Calgary Wranglers and former Reign captain Brett Sutter, the team that's in first place. So two big games coming up Friday and Sunday, and a couple of fun theme nights too. So you can get tickets for those on OntarioRain.com and also tune into the broadcasts on AHL TV and on OntarioRain.com/radio, where we'll have all the coverage.
Yep, a lot of broadcasts coming up. We appreciate everybody who's been tuning in, and we will have another episode coming your way shortly. Have a great day, everybody.